So over the past year, our focus as a church has been based around the word breakthrough. Sensing that God was calling us as a church to believe and pray for significant change. In a number of areas really, but including some of them, we're believing for breakthrough in our personal situations, breakthrough growth both numerically and spiritually in people's lives, breakthrough as well in how we are seen in the community, because we're wanting to be seen to be more visible. We started this by praying together consistently through the year for breakthrough on a Friday, coupled with doing some strategic events for the community. And as we talked about over the last months, and as you've seen, we've begun to see movement. People from the community have attended events and been engaging with us. The church family is and has been and is continuing to grow bit by bit. People are coming to faith. Miracles are happening amongst us. And that's just to name a few things that have been happening. A few weeks ago, I was writing my report for the AGM, looking back on all that God had done over last year. That's always a good thing to do. If you, not write a report, but if you ever think about, God, what have you done? Take some time just to look back over your last year and look at the things that God has done so that you could praise him for that. But I was looking at this over all that God had been doing and thinking about the future. And one of the questions that kept flying around my heart and my head was this. How do we keep moving forward? How do we keep moving forward after what we've seen begin to happen in these last months? As I chatted things through with God and with Erica as well, there was a real sense that for this next season, for us as a church family, that it's about gaining momentum. That God wants us to gain momentum in the things of him and in the things that we're seeing him do in the life of the church and in the community around us. I don't know about you, but as much as I've enjoyed what's happened in the last 9 to 10 months, it's not enough for me. I want to see some more. I'm kind of hungry for more of what God is wanting to do. I want to build upon and surpass that which we've already seen. Do you want that too? Do you want to build on where we've been to go and to surpass those things even in our wildest dreams of what could be? I want to see our church, as our vision says, and this is just a little bit of a reminder of our vision, and perhaps for those of you in church who are not familiar with it, it's on our website, but we try and talk about it as much as we can. And we want to be a church without walls, where we're reaching Southampton with the good news of Jesus, one person at a time. Where we're reaching our community with the love of Christ, practically, spiritually, seeing barriers broken down. We want to create an environment where we encounter Jesus and cultivate strong relationships with him through his word and prayer. We want to be a church that is a family, a place to belong and call home. And we want to be a church where people are equipped to be whole life disciples and released to serve their families and communities with the good news of Jesus. A church without walls is not one that just stays within the church building. Yes, if it has no walls, people can walk in. And that's what we want. And we will continue to ask for that. But we want to be a people that are equipped and ready to actually reach our communities and our families right where we are on a day-to-day basis. So to launch this next season, over the next few weeks, we are starting a brand new series called Momentum. And we're asking ourselves the question, how can we gather momentum that doesn't just build upon where we've been, but catapults us to an even greater places of kingdom influence? That's what our question is. We sometimes have questions in our series based around. How can we gather momentum that doesn't just build upon where we've been, but catapults, that means really hard, fast, to even greater places of kingdom influence, to go further than we've ever could have imagined? So in order to answer this question over the course of this series, we'll be looking at a number of key areas. Today we're focusing our attention on keeping God at the centre. Amen. And then in the coming weeks, what it means to keep pressing in, what it means to serve wholeheartedly, and what it means for us to all get on board, making sure that we leave no man, no woman, no child behind, but we are together as one. So if you have your Bible with me, would you turn to John chapter 15? John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. It's a really familiar passage, but one I believe that is central to what it means for us to keep God at the centre of our focus if we want to build momentum. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8 says, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, so remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Amen. That we, as we dig deeper into the vine and the branches, what does it mean for us to keep Jesus at the center so we can have some momentum? So the dictionary would define momentum as being the strength or force gained by a motion or by a series of events. Now, momentum is something that actually, you may or may not kind of realize this, but it affects us on a daily basis, from the seemingly mundane and simple all the way through to the very important and perhaps complex at times. This morning, you have a heart that's beating. At least I hope your heart is beating this morning. Because if it's beating this morning, you know that you are alive. And the heart beats, and in doing so, the momentum of the heart beating pumps the blood around the body. It has momentum. It moves to the places that it should go to keep us alive. Secondly, we need momentum to walk. If you've ever seen a toddler make their first steps, I remember Hannah, Samuel and Noah all doing this, they will generally take one step or two steps and then they will fall over. And they will do that a fair few times till they're able to gain the momentum, because they put whole lots of steps together and they get some momentum. The force pushes them forward in order to get to the places they want to go. And then all the parents go, oh no! Because we suddenly realise that they are now going to get into places perhaps we don't want them to. But that's another story altogether. Thirdly, if you're riding a bike, you will realise that the faster you push down on the pedals with our feet, the faster we'll go, the more momentum we will have. We took the kids cycling yesterday in the New Forest, and they did not have much momentum, it must be said. And they were really struggling, but when they got going, because it wasn't very flat, when they got going, they were there. It's the momentum, it pushes us, it gets us to the places we need to go. Now, a sports team, similarly, momentum, a different type of thing, they will, if they start winning matches, they will get momentum, right? You know, when they start getting momentum, they start moving forward, and they start winning, and it breeds more winning, and they just want to keep moving forward. When sports teams do it, they get momentum. If you're in a team environment at your workplace, there'll be targets that you have, and that's trying to help the people in your team to gather momentum to reach those targets. Momentum is in our lives in all kinds of ways. But in the context of faith, I would suggest that those who believe in Jesus this morning should want to have some kind of spiritual momentum. Amen? some spiritual momentum to make sure that we grow in faith and that we're not just happy to stagnate or just to plateau or just to be there. We want to always be, I would suggest this morning, gathering momentum and moving to the places where God wants to be, us to be. Certainly, as a church, we want to build upon the breakthrough that we have started to see in the last year. We don't want to say, well, that's it, that was lovely, we peaked. That was nice while it lasted. Let's just go back to normal. No, we want to be always seeking to move forward, to gather momentum to see where God wants to take us. Because God has always got more for you. He has always got more for me. And he's always got more for his church. Do you believe that this morning? Because he does. He has more for us. More, more, more. We need momentum. Now, although not using the specific word momentum in the Bible, the Bible actually does have quite a lot to say about moving forward in God. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says this: therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run. Run. If you run this morning, you've got a little bit of momentum. You're going somewhere. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Philippians 3 verse 13 and 14 says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on, momentum, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, as believers in Jesus, you would know that we're in a race that actually lasts the whole of our lives. The prize that these verses talk about is eternity with Jesus, being with him. But along the way, we are called to build relationship with God. We're called to build his kingdom by being a witness, sharing good news of the gospel, and using your influence, my influence, to make Jesus known. Do you know this morning, friends, that you have influence? You might not think it, but you do. You have influence in the places that you go. Now, sometimes it might be hard in places where when we're in our workplaces, places of work, our communities, where it doesn't seem like we're making an impact. But let me assure you, if you're following Jesus, if you're seeking to move forward in him, you will get opportunities and you are seeing and will see things change. We need to make Jesus known. We need momentum. You know, me and you, we need to keep loving people this morning. We need to keep meeting people's needs. And there goes my... Right, I'll swap this over. Hang on. Ugh. Having a funny 5 minutes. We need to have momentum. We need to keep loving people. We need to keep meeting needs. We need to keep sharing the good news of the gospel. We need to keep seeking to have a positive influence on our communities. We need to be gaining ground. As a song that used to go, step by step we're moving forward, little by little we're gaining ground. Every prayer a powerful weapon, strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. I won't sing it for you, but you get the gist. We need to be taking forward steps, moving forward in the things of God, building his kingdom. As Mark 16 verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So that first key of gaining momentum that we said a few moments ago is we're going to be focusing first and foremost on keeping God at the center of our lives. Now, this seems like a really, really simple statement to make. And actually it is. But I believe this morning, nonetheless, it's one that we continually have to remind ourselves about. As often, in the line of fire, in the moments of the day-to-day living, it often can be the first thing that can go missing. We need to keep focus on God. Now, building momentum is a really brilliant place to be, because it's where you see continual growth, you see life-changing influence in your community. And it makes it feel like anything is possible. And we start to believe, as we should, the scripture from Matthew 19, verse 26, which says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is a good thing. It's a good thing to believe that God can do the impossible. It's a good thing to want to build momentum and believe that God can do anything. But there can be a danger if we're not careful that we can lose focus. And slowly but surely, at times, because of life, Jesus can get pushed from the front and center and can end up being somewhere near the back. And at times for people can even get pushed out of the picture entirely. Often it's not a conscious decision, but it's one that happens when we don't check our motives. For example, and I'm not saying that any of you do this morning, all right? I'm not saying any of you do this, but it's good for us to be reminded. Some can, if we start believing what has happened in this place is a result of us and what we've done, we're in danger. If we think we know exactly what we're doing and we think we can keep things going on our own merits and on our own skill set, we're in danger. If we think we're invincible, we are in danger. If we try to push something that God hasn't called us to, we're in danger. What's the danger? People getting hurt. Relationships breaking down. Tarnished reputations. It's not what anyone starts off wanting to do, but it can happen if churches or individuals don't keep God at the center of their lives. We need to keep God at the center of our lives. Let me assure you of this morning. There is nothing within me that believes it's anything that I've done, anything that our leadership team have done other than follow Jesus. But we, as a leadership team, need to make sure that we are making sure that we're keeping God as focus, Jesus as the center. In your own lives, when good things are happening, you need to make sure that you're giving God the praise and the thanks that he is due, and making sure that you're not listening to other people saying to you, oh, you're brilliant, you know. You're brilliant. The way that you led that team was fantastic. The way that you hit your targets, you're amazing. You are amazing in the sense that God thinks you're amazing, but it's because of what God has implanted in you, not because of how good we might think we are or somebody else might say that we are. We don't want to get into the danger where we take our focus off of Jesus. See, the best way to gain momentum is to build on that which has gone in the past, is to keep God at the center of everything that you do. See, God is always the catalyst for momentum and growth. The momentum and the growth that we want to see experienced in our lives and what we crave for comes from him. Did you know this morning, I'm sure you did, but God is your life source this morning. Should be our life source. He gives us the direction we need and he keeps our feet firmly on the ground. Firmly on the ground. So if we keep God at the centre of everything we do, so keeping God at the centre of everything we do is imperative to momentum. How can you and I make sure that we keep God where he needs to be, front and centre? How do we do that? We're just going to look at that for the next few minutes. First of all, if you're making notes, you may want to write this down, maybe underline it, I don't know. But you've got to recognise that keeping God at front and centre is a choice. It's a choice that you and I have to make. Everything in our Christian lives revolve around choices. When we hear the good news of the gospel, we have a choice of whether we choose or not to follow Jesus. We put our hands up and we say, Jesus, thank you, yet I choose to follow you. I choose to accept what you've done. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because God will never force us to go, you need to respond. He invites us. He wants us to make that decision for ourselves. But then after we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then we won't have a further choice to make. To pick up your cross, pick up our crosses and follow him. Jesus challenges us in Matthew 16, verse 24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now again, God doesn't force us to follow him, but lays out the requirements and leaves the rest to us. Believing that what he's already done for us in forgiving us will drive us to want to connect and to cultivate an intimate relationship with him. Verse 25 of Matthew 16 says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Every day you and I have a choice. Will you lay down your wants? Will you lay down your rights? Will you deny yourself of earthly things that might come in the way in order to follow Jesus? Because knowing that in doing that, you're losing that your fleshly freedom, in doing that, it will actually release in you spiritual fruit. Will you be willing to give up your rights and your wants in order to get the fruit that God calls us to, the spiritual fruit that Galatians talks about, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? God gives you and I a freedom of choice. As he did to Joshua in Joshua 24, verse 15, when he said these words to him at that time, I believe he would say to us again, choose for yourself today who you will serve. God asks us on a daily basis, will you deny yourself and follow me? Will you do that wholeheartedly? Will you do that? We gather momentum when we make the choice to die to self and put Jesus in his rightful place in our lives and in the life of the church every day. And there cannot be any excuses for us. We have to lay our lives down for the sake of Christ. Secondly, it kind of links in together. In order to keep Jesus at the centre of everything we do, we've got to be committed. We've got to have a commitment. Aside from making the choice to follow Christ on a daily basis, we need to show commitment and we need to be disciplined. Our reading from John 15 uses the picture of a vine and the branches in order to show the importance for believers of keeping Jesus at the centre of their lives in order to bear fruit. And as we bear fruit, we gain momentum. Verse 8 says this, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." As we've already said, the fruit that we're talking about here is the fruit of the Spirit. But it's also the fruits that result from being effective witnesses for Christ. Jesus calls us to keep him at the center of our lives by remaining in him. Verse 4 says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Remain is a kind of a good word, but I prefer this word from the New King James Version, which says, abide. Abide. Which means to stay fixed or stable. It's a nice word, isn't it? Stay fixed or stable. Jesus is therefore calling us to be constant in our relationship with him. It shouldn't be a take it or leave it scenario. See if I can squeeze him in at some kind of time in my busy day, but rather we should have an attitude that says nothing, absolutely nothing is more important than spending time with God today and every single day. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 8 encourages us in this way. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's be honest. How many of you find times when you feel tired? Anybody get tired? Anybody tired right now? But at any time we think maybe we're too busy. Too busy. But we'll never get momentum for the things of God and in your relationship with God and momentum in church if we're not willing to be disciplined. Discipline means fighting against those natural human fleshly instincts to say I'm too tired, to say I'm too busy, to say I'd rather just do that just for tonight, God. It's going, no, it's fighting, denying oneself. Because the result of denying ourselves will be plentiful fruit in our lives. And we will give up our lives to gain back an even greater worth. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27 is quite vivid when it talks about being disciplined. Paul says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to win that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not be lost or not will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Can I be honest with you for a moment? I'm sure you don't mind that. But I am trying, I know you're saying, you don't need to, but I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight just to get a little bit more trim. And I'm not great at it right now, if I confess. I am eating probably a little bit more than I should, and it's a bit of a stop-start process. But if I want to get the physique that I had even just probably a year ago, I need to do a little bit of work. It's no good just sitting there going, please God, change my body. I have to be a little bit disciplined in my eating. I have to be a little bit more disciplined in getting some exercise. And I know it works, I was learning before. We need to be disciplined, don't we? In our lives with Christ. Just as I have to be trying to be disciplined and get myself in that right place on a physical level, we need to do that as well on a spiritual level. Thirdly, submit to God. That's what it means to keep Jesus at the centre. Keeping God at the centre of our lives requires us to submit to him. Quite simply, that means to acknowledge our need for God. As Jesus says in verse 5 of our text from John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's quite abrupt, isn't it? Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's an understanding that if we want to build God's kingdom and do things for him, we need to understand that we can't do it without being connected to Christ and submitted to him. It's actually impossible. You cannot be as effective as you need to be. You cannot gain momentum for the things of God if you're not connected to him, if you're not submitted to him. We're always best when Jesus is at the helm of our lives. Verse 6 of the same reading from our key reading says, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch thrown away, withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. It's also important for us to point out that at times, the submission that we put into God will also lead to recognition that there are things in us that need changing in order to get to the place where we can be fruitful and gain full momentum. Verse 2 of our reading says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. It's not an easy place to be pruned. But it is the place that at times we need in order to perhaps be getting to the place where God wants us to be. See, real positive life-changing momentum happens when we acknowledge our need to submit to God and realize His authority, His power that works through us. We don't serve our own agenda, or God doesn't serve our agenda. We serve His. Finally, and the thing to probably encompass it all together is this. Everything that you do in order to find momentum, do it for God's glory. Seeing exciting things happen in the life of the church, whether it be growth, salvation, the miraculous, or times when the Holy Spirit just turns up, is great. And we want more of that, don't we? We want that kind of momentum. We want to play our part. We want to help facilitate the building of Christ's kingdom. But it must only ever be for God's glory. Not to make ourselves look good. Not to build reputation. Or to gain influence. It's only to say, God, it's only you that does these things. You know, we've had a couple of miraculous things that we've taught, and Diane gave testimony a couple of weeks back. You know, the miraculous kind of testimony she gave of God kind of helping her and restoring her from the stripe was nothing to do with what she did, but everything to do with what God did. And she gave glory for that. And other people have done it as well. That's just one example. But we need to make sure it's always God who gets the glory. Not starting to get too big for our own boots, thinking it's something we've done. You know, people often have asked, and it's quite funny to have these conversations at conference. Because you usually have it with other people when they see things that are growing and beginning to change. And they say, how did it happen? What did you do? I say, I'm completely off and honest. I did nothing. We did the same things that we always do. Trusting God, believing God, asking Him to come and move. And then it's the time, and it was the place, and it was the moment, the season where God said, now is your time. But we don't want that to end, do we? We want to see more of it. Colossians 3:17 says, puts it like this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything is about Jesus. I want us to have the same heart as Paul. And this is tricky because Paul was a really, like, great guy, wasn't he? He was Saul originally, and he was probably the biggest pest ever to Christians. Persecutions, put him in prison and all that. But then he became the biggest evangelist and the greatest person, one of the greatest people that we kind of looked at. He wrote most of the New Testament, you know, with letters and stuff. Great encourager. But this is what he says in Philippians 1, verse 21. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So he's like, I'm only living because I'm living for Christ. And you know what? When it's my time to go, actually the gain's going to be even bigger. And I think sometimes in life we don't always see it like that, do we? Sometimes we think about, actually this life is about me, it's about my family, it's about having fun, it's about finding fulfillment in the things that I want. But actually, the greatest fulfillment is found in knowing Jesus and living with Him and living for Him. And you know, death is not something we should fear. But it's something that we should embrace, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. What? To gain eternal life. So in conclusion, as a church, I don't want to see an end to what God's been doing these last months. And I'm sure we'd be aware that momentum doesn't actually, when it keeps going, won't last forever. Eventually it stops. But my prayer is we have the heart that embraces all that God is doing right now. And when that time comes, when the momentum stops, the next thing starts. It's not like you have all this momentum for the rest of, you know, just for a period of how long, and then God goes, actually, you've had that, now there won't be anything else. There's always something more. But we need to ride the crest of the wave. We need to believe and be asking God. We want to see more. See, it's only God who can bring about the momentum that will bring lasting change in Fremantle and across this city.
It's only He that will keep us growing in faith. It's only He that can bring people to Himself. It's only He that does the miraculous. That's what He's done in recent months for us, and what I truly believe He'll continue to do in the days to come. At the start of this season of believing that we want to see momentum, may we keep God at the centre, making a conscious choice to choose to live for Christ and to die to self. May we be committed to relationship with Christ. May we be submitted to Him and His ways. And may we always do things for His honour and glory, so that the momentum takes us to the places God has for us. We've not reached our destination yet. We've just started. There's so many things that we want to see happen this year. We want to believe that the stuff that we're receiving and being imparted on a Sunday takes us out to the places of influence. Reaching the lost. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together as we finish.